What if the secret to a better life wasn't learning something new, but unlearning something old? Most of us spend our days chasing an elusive version of ourselves, smarter, funnier, more successful, while the person we actually are sits quietly in the corner, waiting to be noticed. This peculiar form of self-abandonment costs us more than we realize. It drains our energy, clouds our judgment, and transforms even the simplest tasks into exhausting performances. The irony? The very act of trying to be someone else prevents us from becoming who we're meant to be. There's something deeply tragic about watching talented people sabotage themselves by imitating others. Think about job interviews where candidates rehearse canned answers until they sound like corporate robots, or the countless singers who try to mimic famous voices instead of developing their own. The entertainment industry sees this constantly. Directors spend more time coaxing actors to be themselves than teaching them technique. Why? Because audiences can smell inauthenticity from miles away. Consider the singer with prominent buck teeth who initially tried hiding them, contorting her face into ridiculous expressions. The moment she stopped hiding and started owning her distinctive appearance, she became a star. Her success didn't come from changing. It came from finally showing up as herself. This pattern repeats everywhere. The most magnetic people aren't the most conventionally attractive or polished. They're the ones comfortable in their own skin. Psychologists estimate most people develop only 10% of their potential, not because they lack talent, but because they're too busy pretending to be someone else. All that energy spent on performance could be redirected toward actually growing. What parts of yourself have you been apologizing for that might actually be your greatest strengths? Your brain cannot get tired from thinking. Scientists have proven it. Blood passing through an active brain after hours of intense mental work shows zero fatigue toxins. A manual laborer's blood? Full of them. So why do we feel exhausted after desk work? The culprit is how we hold our bodies while working. We clench our jaws, hunch our shoulders, furrow our brows, as if physical tension helps us think better. It doesn't. One executive avoided a nervous breakdown by clearing his desk of everything except the immediate task. Four practices can save you. Handle one thing at a time, prioritize ruthlessly, decide immediately when you have the facts, and delegate. Your eyes alone consume 1/4 of your body's nervous energy. Relaxing them can dissolve tension throughout your entire system. Check yourself now. Are your shoulders tense? Is your jaw clenched? You're working against yourself. A Harvard student despised door-to-door book sales until he reframed it as performance art, pretending he was an actor with each doorbell. The job didn't change, his relationship to it did. This isn't positive thinking nonsense, it's practical psychology dating back to Marcus Aurelius. Our life is what our thoughts make it. You spend half your waking hours working. If you don't find satisfaction there, you're condemning half your life to misery. The solution isn't necessarily changing jobs, it's changing how you see the one you have. A mother who reframes housework as creating a nurturing sanctuary experiences something fundamentally different than one who sees it as drudgery. Even Swift, English literature's most devastating pessimist, recognized that cheerfulness heals better than medicine. When you dread tomorrow's tasks, ask yourself, what perspective would make this interesting? Meaning isn't inherent in tasks, it's in how we frame them. Would you sell your eyes for $1 billion? Your legs for $10 billion? Most people wouldn't trade their health for any fortune, yet we obsess over what we lack rather than appreciating what we have, a tendency that causes immense misery. One woman's heart failure confined her to bed for a year. Initially bitter, she learned to count her blessings each morning. No pain, a lovely daughter, eyesight, hearing, music, books, good food, good friends. That year became the happiest of her life. Another woman, practically blind for 50 years, regained partial vision at 52 and found ecstasy in soap bubbles and sparrows flying through snow, everyday miracles the rest of us ignore. Samuel Johnson observed that the habit of looking on the best side of every event is worth more than £1,000 a year. The question isn't whether you have enough, it's whether you're noticing what you already possess. Nobody ever kicks a dead dog. When you accomplish something significant, criticism follows inevitably. The Prince of Wales was kicked at Naval College by cadets seeking bragging rights. Washington was called a hypocrite and murderer. Grant won a crucial victory only to be arrested 6 weeks later by jealous superiors. Admiral Peary reached the North Pole and was immediately accused of lying. One corporate president learned to put up his old umbrella and let criticism drain off. Lincoln might have broken under Civil War pressures if he hadn't learned to ignore most criticism. He knew that if he succeeded, criticism wouldn't matter. If he failed, no defense would help. This doesn't mean ignoring legitimate feedback. It means developing wisdom to distinguish between criticism that helps you grow and attacks reflecting others' insecurities. Unjust criticism is often a disguised compliment, proof you're important enough to kick. The question isn't whether you'll be criticized, it's whether you'll let it stop you. There's only one way to get anyone to do anything: make them want to do it. Lasting influence requires understanding what people truly desire. Dewey identified the desire to be important as humanity's deepest urge. This craving distinguishes us from animals. Prize-winning hogs don't care about blue ribbons, but humans will sacrifice almost anything for recognition. Charles Schwab became one of America's first million-dollar-per-year employees not because he knew more about steel, but because he understood people. His secret? I consider my ability to arouse enthusiasm among my people the greatest asset I possess, and the way to develop the best that is in a person is by appreciation and encouragement. The difference between appreciation and flattery is sincerity. One comes from the heart, the other from the teeth. When you genuinely focus on others' good points, you'll naturally express authentic appreciation, unlocking the door to influence that no amount of criticism could ever open. The quality of your life depends less on your circumstances than on how you experience them. You can work yourself to exhaustion or relax while accomplishing more. You can resent daily tasks or transform them into adventures. These aren't just different strategies. They're different lives, available to the same person in the same situation. The transformation doesn't require dramatic external changes. It begins when you stop performing and start living, when you stop chasing an imaginary version of yourself and embrace who you actually are. That decision, repeated daily in small moments, compounds into a fundamentally different life, not because your situation changed, but because you finally showed up for it.